This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we're brought to you by the Verdoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and BetChicago.com, your source for all of Chicago's sports and betting news.
The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Trubisky's not a loser. And me coming over to Trubisky, here's what I'm going to tell the people. To say, oh, it's about time you came over. I knew it all along. You're all morons who love Cutler. A guy that dresses up like Mike Ditka before a game? That's probably what turned me that he understands the tradition of the Bears. If Jay Cutler would have been everything this guy is, he would have probably been gone to the playoffs 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And I fully expect Trubisky to keep getting better because he gives a damn. And I think that's 90% of the band. Don't you like when I just shut people down and I make a reasonable argument? That's what debate's all about. That's what it's all about. I hate that song. The hokey pokey sucks. Let's just go on. Put your left foot in. I don't like nobody telling me what to do when I'm dancing. You put your left foot in. I'm going. Nagy understands the division. Wants that. Trestman. Fox. They wouldn't understand Bear tradition if it hit them in the ass. So Matt Nagy has instilled that into the players. And I love it. This Trubisky kid with Nagy is the right marriage, and I'm going to give Ryan Pace and everybody from Ted Phillips on down a little pat on the back.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. My name is Aldo Gandia. I am Mike's wingman, and we are going to talk plenty of Chicago Bears. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFC North, too, with 5 of the upcoming 8 remaining games being against divisional opponents. And, of course, we'll get Mike's picks for this upcoming week. He is 24-10-2. We want to make some more money. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
How are you, my friend? What's going on, Aldo? What's going on, everybody at the Bears Barroom? It's great to be on. We have hijinks. We have controversy. We have wins. We have losses. We got it all today, man. I'm telling you right now, we're gonna put the gears down. We're going to put the pedal to the metal. That's what we're going
to
do.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Pittsburgh Steelers put the pedal to the metal last night. 52 points, 52-21. Ben Roethlisberger, 5 touchdowns, almost 500 yards passing. What the heck went on there?
Well, first of all, another win on Thursday night for yours truly.
Congratulations.
Which makes it 5-4 straight wins. I was 0-4-1, and now I've won 4 in a row. Make it 5 in a row. I'm 5-4-1 because this is our 10th week. So, absolutely, I've won 5 Thursdays in a row. Now, where I've come up short, all right, is with my overall picks. I was 5-8, and last week on Barroom, I was 2-2. But we'll talk more about the controversy in the Chicago Sun-Times a little bit later on. There's been a little bit of sparring, if you will, early morning communications back with the newspaper, Mark Potash, and so such. Now, what I'm going to tell everybody is this. Ben Roethlisberger's a bona fide winner that never gets discussed with the great quarterbacks. Eli Manning has 2 Super Bowls. He gets more play than Big Ben does with the same amount of Super Bowls. They don't need Le'Veon Bell. He made a bad move here. He's going to be playing for the rest of the season if he comes back for $5 million. He sat out. If you were going to sit out, then sit out the whole season. Now people are saying, well, he needs service time. Wait a minute. If you didn't want to risk playing, okay, the season because you want a $40 million payday, okay, next year, then why would you come back and play now? So there's all these issues over there. Yet, Mike Tomlin, a guy who gets a lot of criticism, has his football team in position once again to win their division and to maybe go far in the playoffs. James Conner and a group of young backs has come out of nowhere and made Le'Veon Bell expendable. Go somewhere else. Go do what you do. The offensive line, and in fact, a lot of the offensive linemen don't even want him back. The locker room doesn't even want him back. So right now, their situation's good. Is the cancer going to come into the locker room and divide it? That's the question. It was a great game, impressive, and that pass rush was unrelenting. It was unrelenting, and they put up 3-4 guys on the elbow rushing the passer.
I'm glad you brought...
You won't hear that kind of breakdown anywhere else.
Nowhere.
Sorry, it's over in about a minute and a half.
I love it. I'm glad you brought up Le'Veon Bell, because don't you think he just hurt his value for next season? I mean, who's going to pay him what he wants when people are going to think that he's unreliable?
Well, he's had some issues, and here's another thing. He's a good back.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
He had 4 yards of carry last year. The year before, 4.9. Yeah, I do my homework, ladies and gentlemen. But not for this team now. This Connor kid deserves to start the rest of the season.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, if Bell's willing to come back and keep his mouth shut, which I don't think is going to help him anyway, because he really threw his team to the dogs.
Yeah.
He's got a contract.
Right.
He had a contract for $14 million. I wouldn't want him back in my locker room. I hear Pittsburgh saying that he should be back next week. I think that's the wrong thing. I think it's the wrong thing. I'd be praying he wouldn't come back, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
they looked on fire last night, and they looked like they could beat anybody. And I'm talking about, hey, Carolina was on a roll. They were on a roll, and they scored first. And I had Pittsburgh. I go, uh-oh. And then all of a sudden, they just put their pass rush on. Their defense looked like the old school defenses we used to watch. They were hitting people. I thought that the guy with the ejection, I think that's got to change. I think, you know what, it was maybe a cheap shot. We don't know. I thought Roethlisberger slid at exactly the right moment, but sometimes that's too late.
Right.
Big Ben looked up. I think the players, when they rushed Reed, made the refs also act. I think that optic makes a big difference when players view a cheap shot. I'm not going to say it wasn't a cheap shot, but to eject the guy, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Now, when a team wins by 30...
Try to stay riveted to the conversation, would you please?
I am. Yep. Every syllable.
After that presentation. Yep. Thanks.
Now, after a team wins by 31 points, Mike, what goes into your thinking the rest of the year when you're deciding whether the Steelers should be a pick or not, no matter what the spread is? Does that factor in, that 31-point win against a really quality Carolina team? No, huh?
No, because, you know, every week's different.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina, let's remember, they went on the road, but they had been successful on the road, and Pittsburgh already had 2 losses at home.
Yeah.
But I just looked at, okay, if Carolina's on a roll, so is Pittsburgh. Who's got the quarterback that I'd want quarterbacking me? Now, I'm going to tell everybody right now, if Big Ben would have been the Chicago Bears quarterback instead of the other guy, I'm not supposed to mention his name, if anybody saw the Mike North Edge video, for those 8 years, I'm comfortable saying we would have made the playoffs 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the bottom line. The guy's a winner. Mm-hmm. Even with the way he ran that one play where Reed got thrown out. I mean, this is a guy that wants it. And if you got a guy like that, and see, did you see those linemen run up and protect him?
Yep.
I remember Cutler had a situation like that, and there was like maybe one or two guys, Kyle Long and somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the team just stayed where they were at. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There are definitely some issues there. There's no doubt about it. You talk to some former players, some of them loved him, and some of them just didn't care for him at all.
Everybody, I don't hear a bad word. Sure, Ben Roethlisberger learned his lesson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, being out on the town and all that. He's not a man without flaws.
Oh.
But I'm going to tell you this. I take him to quarterback my team in a heartbeat with some talent. He knows what to do with it. They really do. And look at Tomlin's success and then just gear it up with Big Ben. And the same thing with Cowher for the most part.
Mike, let's talk a little bit about the Bears.
I just stop you in your tracks.
You do. You do all the time. It's like, wow.
You talk to me on the phone before we come on. I'm dribbling. I'm spilling all over myself. You know? I sound like a semi-stroke victim. You know? And then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah, I say, man, is this going to be a good show? Mike is not.
Don't ever worry about that. I'm the pilot that will land.
I love it. I love it. Let's talk
I'm not crashing into no mouth.
Let's talk about the Bears walloping Buffalo last week. What'd you make of that defensive effort? Wasn't that unbelievable?
Yeah. Yeah, without Mac. I think that his presence has brought in the attitude. He's going to play this week. I hear Allen Robinson's going to play this week, so it'll be good to have those guys back on the field. It was great. It really was. And I got to be the first to tell you, I wasn't the only Bear person that thought that the Fuller signing was just a reaction to Green Bay. I said, maybe let Green Bay have him. I'm here to tell you, the kids played good football. I think the contract, he didn't shy away from it. I think he actually picked up confidence with the fact that the Green Bay Packers wanted him. Forget about his hometown team, the team he was playing for. So I think he's been a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. I like the way that Howard gets to run the ball, but here, I'm going to say this too. If Howard's going to be successful, there's a good chance the other guy won't. Mm-hmm. And if the other guy, the little guy, is successful, there's a good chance Howard won't. It just seems to be that way, that Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard very rarely have two great days together, but that's fine. We got a lot of depth. I like the way that our depth came in. I'm going to be honest with everybody. I think Taylor Gabriel's okay. But I thought that Nagy was absolutely stupid to be playing Trubisky or some of the starters, including Gabriel, with a 30-point lead. And Taylor Gabriel went limp late in the game. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on him for this game coming up.
Yeah, I was surprised about that too. Why keep, I know that he wanted to try to get Trubisky going, and that's why he called the long pass. They got the late touchdown pass, and that may have helped Trubisky's psyche, but boy, that was risky. Boy, oh boy.
Well, you know what's crazy about this? When you're up 30, it's like a preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
And we did everything to protect him and others from the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
So you're up 30. These guys are pissed off. They're rushing with their ears pinned back just to kill Trubisky, especially after Nagy's throwing bombs mm-hmm. with a 30-point lead. So to me, and to see Taylor Gabriel break down, and then to hear the Bear ball washers go, oh, how's he going to learn, Mike? You know what? If you sat him during the preseason, you're basically playing him in a preseason-type situation when you're up 30. Period.
That's what he did,
and he's got to learn, get your guys off the field. I'll be anxious to see. Hopefully Gabriel's fine, but he did go limping off the field.
Now, your guy, Allen Robinson, is back this week. What are your expectations for the veteran wide receiver who was nursing an injury the last 2 weeks?
Let me just send a message out to some of the people. I will not mention their names on the Bear Barroom. When I hear Cam Meredith brought up, sure, you could cherry pick. But here's my other one, and I just gently on Twitter had to bring up that Jordy Nelson has the same amount of catches as Allen Robinson and for more yards at 14 to 11, more touchdowns 3 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? I could bring up and cherry pick. It doesn't do any good. Allen Robinson is our guy, and that's fine. He's not the deep threat that I told everybody Jordy Nelson is. That's for sure. But it's going to be good to have him back. I am still worried about him playing out the full season. Mm-hmm. You got to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can't play 3 games and then sit 2 games and then play 3 games and then sit 2 games. I mean, you know what I mean? In my opinion, but they got so much good depth with their receivers now, Miller, Gabriel, everybody that's performed except Kevin White. Kevin White is still a mystery. Ryan Pace should just boom, let him go, because I don't think there'd be a whole lot of interest in him.
Yeah, well, they couldn't trade him because they were trying to unload him before that trade deadline. It didn't happen, and then they make him inactive, so he probably won't play again the rest of the season if everyone stays healthy. It's a sad situation. Ryan Pace's very first draft pick with the Chicago Bears ends up being a huge dud. Wow.
Well, it's like I had a 63 Impala in the service, and I was getting ready to sell it, and then I blew the engine. You know what that Impala was worth after I blew the engine? Forget about it. So, because the oil light didn't go on. I still remember it like it was yesterday. I don't really carry things with me, but that happened exactly around June 26, 1973. But that being said, that's Kevin White.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sell something. You can't sell a beautiful hot dog stand unless you have people in it for a high price. There's no catches. There's no volume of anything except that he's a bust. period. You can have the nicest looking storefront, have lights, Jimmy's Hot Dogs, the best ever, blah, blah, blah. And if you want to sell it for a high price, you don't bring the person in. They watch when the place is open. You better have a crowd. You better have a crowd. Kevin White don't have a crowd of catches. Kevin White, when he catches a ball, it's a surprise.
Yeah, it was.
And he's a receiver. He had that one catch. He had that one catch where he wasn't in the end zone.
Right.
He wasn't going to probably make it anyway.
Right.
But he didn't get in. And since that time, they have nothing to do. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Just saying.
Well, a lot of Detroit Lions fans right now are saying, I don't know what happened to this team. They started off slowly, then had a hot streak where they beat the Patriots, and everything was looking up. All of Detroit Lions fans on Twitter were sticking their chest out and trash talking and so forth. And now they've lost two in a row, and this team looks like it's in disarray. Matt Patricia, the head coach, goes off on a reporter the other day, and this is what happened between the reporter from ESPN and Matt Patricia.
How do you think this makes your franchise better?
Well, you know, do me a favor, just kind of sit up and just like have a little respect for the process. Every day you come in and ask me questions and you just kind of like, you know, give me this. But I mean, like, just be a little respectful. I'm asking to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay? So ask me a question professionally and I'll answer it for you.
Mike, do you think it's a little hypocritical that a guy that has a beard down to his navel and looks like the sloppiest coach this side of Bill Belichick is chastising a reporter for slouching while he's asking a question?
Well, if you put it that way, it doesn't sound very favorable. You sound like you are the defense attorney for the reporter. I get it all. I understand, and you know what? But to me, as a guy that covered sports forever and loved sports, that, to me, is cool. I come from the house of Ditka, where he combated with, and you see it now in politics, but he combated with the press, especially when things weren't going right. Plenty of times, but he was doubted at the beginning. They thought Ditka was going to last 1 year at the most, maybe two. They thought he was going to be a bust. So there was no love lost from the very beginning. So I'm sort of refreshed by a fiery coach who's pissed off about something, and that reporter had to take the hit, but it's entertainment, and it played on the show. And you know what? I'd rather have Matt Patricia and give them a chance and see what happens than some of the other coaches they've had in the past. They haven't had really a good coach since Wayne Fonts.
Oh, my gosh, since Fred Flintstone, huh?
Oh, I loved him. I loved him. You know what I mean? He looked like a guy that walked out, you know, would walk out first in the movie Analyze That. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? A kid in a sedan.
Now, their quarterback, the Detroit Lions quarterback, Matt Stafford, was recently criticized by Rich Gannon, the old Oakland Raider quarterback, and saying that for years, Stafford has been just piling up stats on the fourth quarter, you know, because the team was trailing, and that he really isn't a very good quarter. And basically, he said he's stealing money because he's so overpaid, according to Gannon. And that was something that Boomer Esiason said in the beginning of the season. What's your take on Detroit Lions quarterback Matt Stafford?
Well, on Bears Barroom, I think the first week I said basically when we were breaking down all the teams, in fact, I've said it more than once, and I respect Gannon and Esiason too for saying the same thing. They didn't, you know, it's about the money, because I've said this: when a quarterback makes that much money, and then you don't see the money being dispersed to help other areas, and then you have a franchise where people don't have a lot of faith in it, no matter who runs it. For instance, I think Barry Sanders quitting football in his prime was a black mark on the Detroit Lions. I think Matt Millen, who I'm supposed to listen to on TV, that I'm supposed to think he knows what he's talking about, I would tell him right to his face, you are clueless. You're the worst GM maybe in the history of GMs. Okay? So when you see, then you see Calvin Johnson walk away, who had some injuries but still had football in him. That's another mark on two great players that said, you know what, I'd rather retire than play for you. And that's when Matthew Stafford was, you know, supposed to be in his prime. But you know what? They're top-heavy with the money and he has nobody really to throw to. Golden Tate's gone. So, yeah, and their defense isn't all that good, and they're a mess right now. It's going to take them a couple years, and they've people been waiting there forever.
So we're going to get your pick on that game.
It sounds like I live in Detroit, doesn't it?
It does.
Sounds like I work for the Detroit News, doesn't it?
You got a brown
like
paper bag.
I broke that down. Come on now. They haven't won since the Edsel was in its prime.
The Edsel. I wonder how many
the
of my
Edsel,
listeners
baby.
Will know what an Edsel is. Now,
take it easy.
We're going to get your pick on this game later, but boy, from what you just said, it doesn't sound like the Lions stand a chance at Soldier Field.
You know when it looks like the car's falling off the cliff, that's the wrong time to try to predict how I'm going to predict the game. You know that, my friend.
All right.
You know that.
Before we get to your picks, I want to talk a little bit about the other two NFC North teams. Now, the Vikings have a bye this week, but boy, oh boy, they are playing really well, and they're expecting Dalvin Cook back. They had 10 sacks last week against Matthew Stafford. Are you concerned about this Vikings team and perhaps them being really the top team in the NFC North despite their trailing the Bears in the standings?
No, I'm not, and I was against the Bears. And for everybody that took the over 6.5, they're not there yet. But they're almost there. Congratulations. I would have probably taken the under. I don't bet the totals like that, though. So, to my buddy David Kaplan, I'm not jinxing them. I'm saying it looks good. But a loss to Detroit automatically puts us back on what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
So we got to just quit looking ahead, and we can't worry about what Minnesota's doing. I will say this. If they win the division, Kirk Cousins is going to get a lot of credit, no matter what, because that was a good signing, that means. And, mm-hmm. They've been through Sam Bradford and a bunch of other quarterbacks.
Teddy Bridgewater
and all this other stuff. So they'll have some. They have a solid guy that loves to win. I sort of like the guy because he doesn't like management, for mm-hmm. the most part, or the press, mm-hmm. if you've seen some of his outbursts. Got a chip on his shoulder. So I sort of like him. But I like our Bear team. Defensively, better right now than Minnesota's defense. And Minnesota's defense was pretty good last year.
Yeah, they were. And that team does scare me, I'll tell you that. Now, they always seem to stumble over themselves, so we'll see what happens. But I think they're a strong NFC North team and could be the real test, because right now the Green Bay Packers are not playing very well, and everybody in Wisconsin, I've got a lot of cheesehead friends, and they are all really concerned about what's going on, particularly because Aaron Rodgers has not been playing well. In fact, I got a clip here from Aaron Nagler. He is the founder of Cheesehead TV, and he was talking about Aaron Rodgers, and this is what he said.
But this whole, Aaron Rodgers, he's so untouchable. I'm so over it. I'm so done. He is not playing well, and he knows it. It is time for him to step up. They just played the two best teams in the NFL, right? That's the benchmark, and they didn't get it done. And a big part of it is because he didn't play as well as he could and should have.
Yeah.
If you build your entire team around a player because of his ability, he needs to play to that ability.
What do you think about that take on Aaron Rodgers, a guy who is a devout Packer fan and has been talking about Aaron Rodgers like he's Jesus Christ forever? What do you think?
Well, first of all, if it was Jesus Krause, that would be news, okay, first of all. Another Yiddish family, but you know what I'm saying. Look, Aaron Rodgers is no different than a lot of superstars. Here, I'll give you a perfect example. The media coddles him, and they have coddled him, just like they coddled Brett Favre. But at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is not going to win more than the one Super Bowl that he has. When they play good, it's all him. When they win, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Joe Buck, I got to be honest with you. If the guy does drink and he overdrinks one night, I'm afraid he's going to tell somebody that Aaron Rodgers' ball sack smells like cinnamon. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't get the media to fawn over a guy more than Aaron Rodgers gets fawned over by a lot of media, not just Joe. But others. And when they play good, it's all him. When they play bad, it's on the receivers, the offensive line's injured, McCarthy called a bad game. Just follow the pattern. So it's refreshing to hear that guy who, you know, probably could never get a radio position. Maybe he's doing well. I don't know who these guys are. That's a good quote. But you know what? If you're on the Packer station, you're not going to be on it for long if you try to. Look, Aaron Rodgers is a stain now that Ty can't get out. I think Packer fans are sick of him. I really do.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is that it almost, that the new general manager over there is almost signaling that this season is up. He trades Ty Montgomery, the running back, Clinton Dix, their safety, who was a number one draft pick 4 years ago, traded as well. It almost seems like they are, you know, cashing in their chips and preparing for a high draft pick and rebuilding. And I suspect that Mike McCarthy is in his last season. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think Mike McCarthy's in his last season. I don't think he deserves to be in his last season. I think that last year Aaron Rodgers did get hurt. I think the defense needs an upgrade. But, I think Mike McCarthy's a good coach. I think if Mike McCarthy was fired tomorrow, he'd get snatched up right away. And Aaron Rodgers would probably still be the quarterback of the Packers. I think it would be a mistake, since they've had success together, to automatically get rid of one or the other. I think they're married to each other, and I think that if you think getting rid of Aaron Rodgers or Mike McCarthy is the right thing, I think you better look at the rest of the roster. I think they see that they have to rebuild, but the two key places they don't have to rebuild is at the head coaching position and at the quarterback position. If they get some players, I mean, to me, and I just brought them up earlier, and I didn't think I was going to bring them up again, but let me ask you a question. Why would you get rid of Jordy Nelson? I just don't understand. He was Rodgers' best favorite receiver.
Exactly. I totally agree with you on that. I mean,
I cannot believe they did that when it happened. Mm-hmm. And I said, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. This guy has been a 5-time Pro Bowler. Are you kidding me? He stretches the field. He's run the third fastest time for 20 yards in the NFL this year on pass patterns. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I didn't understand it at all. But you're right. It was other guys, too, that they've gotten rid of. It's sort of like they're rebuilding on the fly, but they're going to have a couple tough years with their at least mainstay quarterback. He's going to have to eat it. That's all he's going to have to do, and wait till they get better.
I'm with you on this Jordy Nelson thing, because this guy was – Aaron Rodgers' right-hand man. And it's
unbelievable.
It's not like they had a whole bunch of wide receivers who were ready to step in. Davante Adams is okay, but he's not Jordy Nelson. And so it just didn't make sense. And they didn't even discuss it.
I'll give you a perfect example, and Bear fans will understand this. I never understood why they got rid of Greg Olsen. I understood that March had this intricate system, the Bears. But Cutler and Olsen were best friends. And they clicked.
Yep.
And when they got rid of him,
mm-hmm.
got rid of Olsen, and I'm watching Olsen last night, that guy's a bona fide Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Tight end.
Yeah, I agree.
If they got rid of him, they took Cutler's guy and his weapon away.
Yep.
So I'm sticking up for Cutler on this one. That was the dumbest move. One of the dumbest moves the Bears have pulled off in a myriad of dumb moves over the last 10 years.
Oh, we've got to collaborate on an article to talk about the Bears' dumb moves over the years, because I agree with you.
Oh, I got them from the 1960s on. Are you kidding me? I can't have trouble sleeping at night if I start going over bad Bear history.
There's plenty.
Come on.
Well, let's talk about good history. Your 24-10-2 record. It is time for your NFL picks.
All right.
Listen to that.
First of all, we have a controversy.
Uh-oh.
I wake up this morning, okay? Now, I had the Steelers last night.
Mm-hmm.
That was fine. Last week, and I got last week's totals here. Going in, I was 65-49-7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Write that down. 65-49-7.
65.
For the overall pick, which is in the Chicago Sun-Times in black and white.
The bright one. Go ahead.
Not really. Okay. Not this morning. But they'll get brighter. I mean, I delivered the paper, and they're trying to shave wins from me. I don't know who's doing it. Mark Potash was absolutely shocked and surprised and shocked.
That's hilarious.
Okay, to put it in the words of Ron Burgundy. Now, the season record going into this week was 69-49-7. I went 5-8. You know what the record is this week?
What is?
66-57-1. They didn't count my win. They didn't count four wins. My record is 70-57-7. They got me at 66-57-7, which means Mark Potash is only 6 games back, but really he's 10. But I don't think it was Mark. Now, I'm not even...
No.
I'm not done.
Oh, really? There's more?
There's more. Last week, I was 22-8-2. So, that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
I and Bears Barroom, Eldo only could go by what I give him. 24-10-2. I open up the paper this morning. What do I see? 23-11-2.
What?
Help me out. Last week, I said, and I already talked to Mark Potash about this, and he understands. So I'm dealing from a position, and one of the few times of my life, from strength. Okay? I had the Falcons last week. Plus one and a half versus the Redskins. They killed the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Patriots against the Packers. That's 2 wins. Then I picked the Cowboys, which was a loss, and the Lions, which was a loss. 2-2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
Guess what it says for top place? 1-3. 20. Honest to God, it says 23-11-2.
Mike, have you called the Verdoliak Law Group?
I called the Verdoliak Law Group. All of my friends over there. I reached out to Bet Chicago for the scores, okay, and all this other things. So, and then on top of that, I called Mark because Mark's a great guy, and you know Mark's done a lot for Bears Barroom.
Absolutely,
and Mark was sort of embarrassed, but you know, he goes, "Oh my God, I can't believe it! It's been a crazy last 2 weeks." I go, "Not crazy for me." I go, I'm keeping track. But Mark is a great guy. It was just a mistake. But I want to let people know that, because people that tune in the Bear Barroom think I'm 24-10-2, and I actually am. So I just want to state that. Now, for the love of God, would you like my picks?
Oh, my gosh. I've been waiting and waiting.
Yeah. Waiting and waiting. You're looking out the window on your underwear, okay?
How'd you know?
Waiting and waiting. Like you think you're at Starbucks or something. Take it easy. Okay. Here we go. We got that all straightened out, okay?
Great.
Number one, I'm going with these guys again. Because as soon as I jump off them, the same thing will happen.
Oh, no.
With San Francisco. I got San Francisco to finally cover for me.
Oh.
Okay. In fact, I'm gonna stay with these guys because the Redskins, I think, are going to bounce back against the Buccaneers. Now, Fitzmagic, is there a call for this guy to be a maybe MVP? What happens if the Buccaneers really knock off the Redskins? I mean, seriously, think about this. When Jameis Winston played, and when you look at their record now, it's because Jameis Winston basically came back. But the Buccaneers are 3-5. They're not out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think the Redskins are taking a pounding in Washington. I think that they're one of those teams that's up and down. Eldo and I have talked about other teams like that. I like the Redskins plus the 3 versus the Buccaneers. Okay?
Got it. Washington plus 3 over the Bucs.
All right. Now, the Browns are playing the Falcons. The Falcons are minus 4.5 at the Browns. I thought the Browns played pretty well last week. I think they're knocking on the door. But there's always these teams that I end up marrying sometimes that can hurt my record. Sometimes I end up marrying them. They help my record down the line. I made some adjustments, for instance, on Thursday night after I started 0-4-1. Now I won 5 in a row. An adjustment I see is that the Cleveland Browns, they're good enough and close enough, and they've been that way. Hugh Jackson might still have a job had they won some of those overtime games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the Browns plus 4.5 at Cleveland against the Falcons, who are used to playing indoors. I'm not saying they're going to lose the game. Maybe it's a 1, maybe it's a 2, maybe it's a 3-point game. But getting 4.5, I'm going to go with the Browns again. And if I don't win, I'll look at the Browns as one of the teams that helped drag my fantastic record, no matter what the Chicago Sun-Times has tried to do to me, of 70-57. I can't bring that up enough, of 7. You know what? I got to be honest with you. I love Mark Potash.
He's one of the best.
He's not the guy to, I listen to him. I love Mark. But remember one thing. I told him yesterday. You know, he tweeted me after I really had high regard. when Justice Ginsburg fell. She broke three ribs. Okay. And I have a mother that's 88, 89.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, hope she gets better and everything else. Mm-hmm. And Mark said back, well, I'm sure that breaks your heart. You know what I mean? Because he's more lefty and I'm more righty, right?
Oh, he's a lot like me, yeah.
Yeah. I really think the Ginsburg thing screwed him up.
Yeah.
His mind hasn't been right since.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. You ready? Quit stalling. Here we go. You're always stalling.
I am.
All right. Next, I have the Chiefs. I mean, excuse me, the Raiders.
Right.
Plus 10 at L.A. Raiders plus 10 at Oakland. At Oakland. Believe me when I tell you this. 99% of America is going to take the Chargers, folks. The Raiders have the worst. It's called bad PR by watching TV. In other words, if you've watched the Raiders and the mess that they are, they're basically the biggest mess in the NFL. Their coach is the poster boy of that team, getting $100 million. But I think they're going to keep it within 10. They got rid of Amari Cooper. They've gotten rid of Khalil Mack. Derek Carr doesn't have a whole lot of protection out there. I think he could play better. But I like him to keep the score within 10. Okay?
Really?
I like when you do that. Although I know I'm really on the right track when you say wow. Let me just say this on behalf of everybody at Bears Bar. Nobody works harder than my guy, Aldo Gandia.
Oh, you got the ball in.
All right, now I got a little problem here.
Okay.
One of my four top picks, because I've given you the Redskins, the Browns, and the Raiders, right?
Correct.
My other top pick, I got to cut line. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Lions.
Oh, no.
Plus the 6.5.
Oh, no.
No, wait a minute. The Bears aren't going to cover every week. And Stafford is under tremendous pressure. But there's a good thing here. I took the Lions last week. You know? But they're getting 6.5. I'm not saying they're going to lose the game. All I'm saying is they could win it 24-18. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just think the Bears aren't going to be one of those teams that clicks every single week. But Khalil Mack's back. You know, you got Allen Robinson back. You got a very important receiver back. They got a lot of depth. They've looked impressive. But they're going to be playing a better quarterback, no matter how much and how true Rich Gannon may be. Aldo, would you agree that Matthew Stafford could get hot and they're not facing Nathan Peterman or Sam Darnold?
Absolutely agree. I've seen Stafford really hurt the Bears over the years, so I'm with you.
So that's why I'm taking them. That doesn't mean a thing. I could lose the bet. I'm just telling you what my system tells me. And let me ask you a question. When you're 24-10-2, you really have to explain a whole lot.
In Mike North, we trust.
All right. So what we got here is we got the Lions plus 6.5, the Redskins plus 3, the Browns plus 4.5, and the Raiders plus 10. Now, I could lose all four. I haven't done that all year.
Don't jinx it.
I haven't done that all year, but I will also say this to be careful, guys, mm-hmm. out there and girls, because last week was one of the top 10 worst weeks in sports book history in Las Vegas. 12 to 14 million bucks was lost.
Really? Whoa.
By the casinos. Yes. So a lot of the favorites came in. A lot of people bet the chalk. If you notice, Kansas City covered last week. I'll give you some games that covered last week. This is called Professor North's Class 101. All right? The Bears covered last week. Very popular team. The Chiefs covered last week. New England covered last week. You know what I mean?
Sure,
all the big teams. Vegas needed a win. And they couldn't get a big win because 8 favorites won last week. And when that happens, there's parlays to consider and everything else. So I'll take my professor hat off now, dust it off. I got the Redskins, the Lions, the Browns, and the Raiders, okay? Now, by the way, that was brought to you by the Vrdoljak Law Group. All I'm going to tell people is this, all right? When it comes to Vrdoljak Law Group, Chicago and Nashville law firm that has been fighting insurance companies since 1963. Now, the Verdoliak Law Group offers reduced fees for those in uniform, military, veterans, police, and fire. Now, if you have been injured, call 844-4-VLG, 844-4-VLG-LAW, or visit them at verdoliak.com to get the money you deserve. That's 844-4-VLG-LAW. And now it's time for the rest of my picks, brought to you by the fine folks at BetChicago. BetChicago, boy, the football season's going. They got contests up. You can download the BetChicago app. Gives you all the information. I think Eldo, you get a lot of information for BetChicago and BetChicago.com. It's BetChicago.com. Get in, have some fun. There's contests that they run and everything else. And they've been a great sponsor. In fact, both have been great sponsors for us, BetChicago and the Verdoliak Law Group, right?
I play their contests over at BetChicago every week. I'm not doing well, but nonetheless, I love playing their contest to potentially win $10,000. In addition to that, I love going to their website just to keep on top of what's going on with Chicago sports because I'm so invested in the Bears. Sometimes I'm not following what's going on with the Blackhawks and Bulls. I go over to Bet Chicago to keep me up to date.
And let me just tell the Chicago Sun-Times, Mark, guys, everybody over there, I love them all. And we appreciate all the support. We just have fun with Mark Potash. He's one of my dear friends. He really is. But if this doesn't get changed next week, the Verdoliak Law Group will be called. Make no mistake about that, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, are you ready?
Eldo's
fun. Dear Lord, I'm gonna just hurl myself off a mountaintop.
I love Mark Potash, but boy, oh boy, he's gotten 25 mentions on this show.
Take it easy. Well, the guy's done a lot for us, but you know what?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be happy about the mentions. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to invite him on Bears Ballroom Radio. We're going to have him on every show.
Oh, you should.
Yeah.
You sound like you're a little envious.
I am, because he asked the best questions at the Bears press conference. I am envious.
Listen, here's the one thing. Here's all I'm going to tell you is we got the record. It's on the record right here every single week. Here we go. You ready?
I am ready. The music is up.
For 10 minutes, I've been ready. If I had to wait for a table this long, I would have left. Here we go.
Okay.
The Arizona Cardinals are getting 16.5. I'm taking them. I know the Chiefs have been on fire. They'll probably win by 30. And I think that if you listen over the weekend, everybody else will say they'll probably win by 30. This is what you would call. And I saw that one of the, I don't know who the Bears barroom. There's one guy. Jason Lancanfor, who gets a beating from the guys at the bar room, you know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure.
And he took Arizona to win outright because he's down in his picks. But if you're in a confidence pool, seriously, if you're in a confidence pool, these are the games that you're scared to death of.
Right.
The one that looks like if they had their wives and kids play the Chiefs, they'd still beat Arizona. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So just be leery. I'm going to take Arizona plus the 16.5, and I don't think the Cardinals are going to win outright, but I think they're going to keep. That's a lot of points to be given out. And you know, when's Mahomes going to lay an egg? If he does, it's hard for me to believe, you know, that he's going to go through the whole season without any type of situation. But he's proven that so far that he can do that. All right, so we got the Cardinals plus 16.5. Bengals playing the Saints.
Bengals.
Saints are minus 5.5 at Cincinnati. I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow.
Drew Brees getting a lot of play this week. I think he's the second best quarterback in football after Tom Brady. The morons, and I guess I got to put it that way, they keep talking Aaron Rodgers like he's the best quarterback. I'm going to tell you right now, if I had one game to play to win, to save my life, I'm taking Drew Brees, especially if it's at home. But the Bengals, you know what? They've been one of my pet projects. Sometimes they look good. Sometimes they look bad. I don't make these picks just, you know, start circling picks. I do my homework on it. The last couple of weeks have been tough, but I'm taking the Bengals. Now, the Patriots minus 6.5 at the Titans. Wow, who knows Vrabel better than the Patriots, right? The head coach.
Correct.
But who knows the Patriots better than Vrabel? And they're playing each other. They don't make a habit a lot of times. If you've watched them play former coaches, they let them, they win. But Belichick, if he likes a guy that used to play for him mm-hmm. and coach for him. This is the truth. They don't really run it up. I'm sure you could find a couple instances, but I think Mike Vrabel is one of the all-time favorites in New England. I think the fact that it's at Tennessee mm-hmm. could be a problem for him because they won't care. But the, you know what? I think the Patriots, -6.5 in Tennessee, I'm going to take Tennessee.
I love
plus
that
the
pick.
Plus the 6.5 to cover the game.
I love that pick.
Okay?
Yep.
You like that pick?
Yeah, that's the one I'd lay money on.
I'm going to take the Patriots, -6.5 to cover against Tennessee. No, I'm just kidding. I'm with you. We're together. Remember that.
Always.
We're together.
Oh.
All right. Colts -3 versus the Jacksonville Jags.
Okay.
And that's what they've been. And Andrew Luck's done pretty good this year. And the Colts, you know, it's amazing what a quarterback in pretty good shape can do. I had the Colts worse than they are. The Colts are 3-5. They're 4-4 with the spread. But you know what? I'm going to take the Jaguars. I think that the Jaguars win this game outright. I think they're getting 3 at Indianapolis. I think for the most part, a lot of NFL scribes and media have given up on the Jacksonville Jaguars, but it's a new week. I think that they percolate, but there's no doubt this will only make them 4-5. It's not going to save their season, but I think they're capable of beating Indianapolis, even at Indianapolis. Eagles -7 versus the Bills. Nobody looks worse than the Bills, except maybe, well, the Cardinals. Eagles given only 7 to the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Philadelphia, I don't have them repeating the Super Bowl champs. I don't know. They should maybe win the division, but nobody's looked for a Super Bowl team coming back. I mean, even after Buddy Ryan left the Bears in 85 and 86, they had a pretty good team. They just had to counter the New York Giants. I mean, the Eagles are 4-4, 3-5 against the spread. I'm taking the 7 and the Bills. Okay?
Okay.
Trying to keep you awake. Packers -10 versus the Dolphins. Eldo and I basically just broke it down. I'm out of my mind. I'm out of my mind. I guess it must be stupid to take 10, even at Green Bay. I know there's snow on the ground. Maybe it's snowing in Wisconsin. I know it's snowing here in the Chicagoland area. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers still has this mystical power. He can't do it by himself. Gase, the coach of the of the Miami Dolphins, if everybody remembers, he knows how to beat defenses because he was one of the better offensive coordinators the Chicago Bears have ever had. Would you agree with that, my friend?
Totally agree with that.
I'm taking the Dolphins plus the 10 against the Green Bay Packers. Rams -9.5 for Seattle. I'm still mad at Todd Gurley for falling down on purpose, but... I think a lot of people, I mean, given Seattle, I love Russell Wilson. Nobody's got more respect for Russell Wilson than me, you know? So I got to be honest with you. It's hard for me. But the system that I use says the Rams are going to cover this game -9.5 unless Todd Gurley decides he doesn't want to run into the end zone. All right. I'm not bitter about that, though. I'm not brazen and bold about it, but... I still remember it a little bit. And I like to forget those things, but that bothered me. Next. Didn't it sort of bother you, Aldo, that a guy falls down on purpose 5 yards from the end zone?
You know, I understand why he did it because it ensured the victory. You don't want to give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers. But, yeah, it bothers the hell out of me, particularly since I got Todd Gurley on my fantasy team. So, yeah.
Let me tell you, first, yeah, number one, that. Number two, you will not understand it if you ever have a nickel and he does that on you. A nickel on the game and he does that. There will be no understanding coming from the Gandia residents. Okay?
I hear
next.
You.
You hear me. All right. Next. It's so much fun, this show, isn't it? It's like a Disneyland. It's like the Ice Capades. It's like everything wrapped into one. It's like a Blackhawk press conference. What can I tell you? All right. Here we go. Eagles -7 versus the Cowboys. I ended up taking the Eagles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I ended up taking the Eagles.
Okay.
Gotcha?
Gotcha.
And 49ers -3 versus the Giants. On Monday night, I'm taking the 49ers in that game. I'm tired of Eli Manning. I'm tired of promise. I think that San Francisco's got a young, hungry defense, and I think that basically right now Eli Manning's like that beaten favorite. The horse that used to win when he was a 2-year-old, then he stepped up in competition. All of a sudden now he's being lapped around the field. So I got the 49ers, and I had the Steelers last night. in a blowout, ladies and gentlemen. So once again, I start off 1-0, but I got to finish the job. I didn't do that last week. I got to do 3-1 instead of 2-2 in my top picks, and I got to do better than 5-8. Here are my picks: Lions, Redskins, Cardinals, Browns, Bengals, Titans, Jaguars, Bills, Raiders, Dolphins, Rams, Eagles, 49ers, and last night, the Steelers. I got to be honest with you. Can I take some oxygen?
I was going to say, you need a drink?
I'm on my seventh cup of coffee in the last 10 minutes. I got a sweat going.
I was going to say, seven cups of coffee. Do you do that every morning?
Don't worry about it. Every good engine needs fuel.
Oh, my goodness. All right. The music comes down because now we are going to talk about two of the topics before we say goodbye. I want to know, you met with Lynn Bramer yesterday. I saw that on your Twitter feed. What was that all about? First of all, tell our audience who Lynn is and tell us why you were meeting with him.
All right. Well, Lynn Bramer was one of the guys back in 1992 that was a WXRT DJ. He ended up he worked there, and then he ended up getting the morning job from Terry Hemmert. He's been doing it for a long time. Terry Hemmert is still there. If you look at the WXRT DJs, they're a progressive rock station here in Chicago. It's been one of the best rock stations, not only in Chicago, but around the country. Norm Weiner, just a talented guy, was there for a long time. Lynn's still doing a great job over there. And what happened was Lynn knew me from the 80s. And BB, and our screenwriter, Jeremy Morrison, and Adam Rifkin, we had a list of people that we had to interview. We still have a couple left. Some are going to be phoners. Some are going to be in person, like with Dan Jiggets. We're looking to talk to some other people who I will announce sooner rather than later. But Lynn Bramer was with me when I was just a hot dog stand guy. The XRT crew used to come into the stand in the 80s. And, you know, from Johnny Mars to Bobby Skafish to Lynn Bramer to Norm Weiner to Harvey Wells to Danny Lee. That's how I met Danny Lee and pitched the sports station. So the screenwriter, Jeremy Morrison, met with Lynn and I in Chicago on the north side yesterday, drove in from Detroit, and he basically interviewed him for 2 hours. What was Mike and BB like at the hot dog stand? And then, because they're starting to form the script. Mm-hmm. They're starting to form the treatment, and the more information they get, and the more things that they hear repeated, that sort of sticks out of what they're going to do. Certain things that I did repeated by everybody. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
That gives them an idea. Also, they got an idea from him what it was like. They were the big boys on the block and girls. They were the only radio station at XRT, and then all of a sudden, this little engine that could, three shows came in with Dan McNeil, Terry Bors, Mike North, Dan Jiggets, Brian Hanley, and Tom Scherer, and took over the place. And in a year, ended up charging the same amount of money as WXRT had been charging, and they'd been around for 20-some years. Mm-hmm. So it was really good. It was about a three-hour meeting, and we had a great time. We really did. Brought back good memories.
I bet. I can't wait to read that script because I know you're going to let me read it.
Well, yeah, of course I am because I'm so. Writing. What it is we aren't using tape. And what I mean is we're not tape recording any of these sessions. Some guys do that, some guys don't. Screenwriters handle things in their own way. This guy is a listener. He jots down certain notes. But where his advantage is I'm going to be the co-writer. So he doesn't have to go back to tape to find out when did this happen, mm-hmm. when did that happen, mm-hmm. What was this, what was that, because I'm going to be with him. And that's where you get the co-screenwriting credits.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, man, that's going to be so cool to see you.
And he's really, I mean, they're excited about it. I'm going to California. Me and Bebe are flying to meet Adam Rifkin and the production team December 4th to the 7th. So we're going to be gone for 3-4 days. We're flying to Beverly Hills for 4 days. Feel sort of like Dick Shorty. Feel like Travolta. Yeah. I love L.A. You know what I mean?
That's going to be so cool. Now, I'm going to tell our audience the idea that I had for the ending of your movie. So after the
credits... I heard it. Go ahead.
After the credits play, you know, they always have this little extra scene and so forth. The credits play... And
they put in outtakes sometimes.
Right.
Or they put in the people now. We already know exactly what you want, and it's going through the board of directors. But go ahead. Tell everybody what you want, Aldo.
They're going to cut to you and me doing the Mike North Advantage. That'll be so cool.
Right.
And you're making fun of me, and I'm laughing.
Of course. And you know what? That may be. Because you know what? Look, people don't understand. I did 9-10 things before I even got into radio. I went to acting school. I played junior college basketball at Truman College. I was in the United States Army. I worked for the city of Chicago. I had 3 hot dog stands. I worked for the Park District, which was a different entity. I worked construction. I did a lot of different things. So my occupation, when I hear people go, oh, no, you're not broadcasting anymore. Hey, they don't want you anymore. Occupation doesn't define you. Mm-hmm. What defines you is your life and what you're able to do with it. And that's why the movie's, I think, going to be an overwhelming success. We hope we can do it in Chicago, but they're going to have to do some different things because of the tax situation and stuff like that. But if we can't, we'll do it somewhere else. It doesn't matter. But the buildings are going to be authentic. A lot of more money is going to be used than they imagine. And I want to get some music. I think the biggest hurdle is getting music and also cars from that era.
Yes.
It's really, Aldo, a period piece.
Yes.
It's from 92 to about 98.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, really from about 89 to 98, the hot dog stand all the way through. So you know what you got to do? You have to have cars from that era.
Right.
You have to have clothes from that era.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
All of the props have to be from that era. Because
there's that era.
Right. There's always going to be somebody.
And the music is... They're charging out of the yin-yang now, I found out, for the music.
It's expensive.
But I want the music in the background, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're dealing with that right now, too.
That is such a great point about movie making. That stuff can get really expensive. I mean, jeepers.
You know how much you got to pay if you want, like, this is what they... If I want Borderline from Madonna, because it was a big song in the mid-'80s, and I'm at the hot dog stand, or, you know, Lou Reed, you're talking 30, 40,000, you know?
Wow.
I mean, that's what it is. They told me. That's why a lot of movies use generic music. But I, you know me. I'll get in a meeting. I'm requesting a meeting with Madonna immediately.
I want to go.
I'll turn her around.
I want to go. Hey, Heart 4803 says that he's got an 84 citation you can use for the movie.
Well, that's what we could end up doing. Hey, if you want to be in the movie, if you want your car to be in the movie, you know, like for instance, there's a scene in that movie where I owe tickets.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a scene in the movie where I owe tickets.
Mm-hmm.
They actually put a boot on my car in front of my own hot dog stand. and it was a 1986 Calais. So just stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. That's really something. You got a line of people out the door, and they're booting your car as you're serving the beef.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh. I want to end the
show. The Harold Washington years.
The Harold? Oh, my goodness. I know we could talk politics on Mr. No. Washington for a long time, but I want to end the show talking a little bit about the Chicago Blackhawks. What do you think about this new coach, Jeremy Colleton? The Blackhawks haven't exactly gotten off to a great start under the Colleton era, but what are your thoughts about him and replacing Joe Quenneville?
It was a power play, and anybody doesn't think so. Hasn't been in the world of entertainment, sports, or politics. Joe Quenneville's the second most winning coach ever.
Yep.
He won 3 Stanley Cups in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
He grew with those guys. He didn't really grow. And then Stan Bowman was a child when he started. But Scotty Bowman, John McDonough, who I happen to like. I like John. But I will be critical of John in this juncture. He has no clue about hockey. He's helped the Hawks be where they're at. He's been a good president at times, but he's in over his skis at that press conference. He gave a lot of cliches. He's very quick on his feet. Rocky Wirtz looks shriveled up in the corner, like I'm going to go along with these guys. And he looked very body language. His head was barely above the table, if you look at it. Yeah. McDonough, Bowman, and this new coach, last night losing 4-3, got off to a bad start. It's a veteran group that I think deserved their coach back for one redemption more. But I've seen this before from Ditka to him to other people, Ozzie Guillen. It doesn't matter. Something happened that pissed him off. 15 games, and I'm not buying it, that all of a sudden he can't coach anymore. As we saw last night, the new guy brought nothing to the table. If that was his debut, I'm fearful for the rest of the season because somebody's trying to say now, well, you know what? The head coach, the new head coach, doesn't skate. Well, either at Quinville.
That's right.
Either was it Quinville's fault last year when Jonathan Toews just disappeared?
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Kane disappeared? And they got their ass beat by Nashville, I think it was?
Mm-hmm.
Swept? How's that Quinville's fault? I mean, you know what? Start taking accountability. Get your lips off their heinies, for God's sake. The players' heinies. They're accountable, but there's no way Joe Quenneville should be gone for this guy.
Yeah.
This is like going from honest to God. This is the truth. I really believe this. This is like going from Curly Lambeau or George Halas to Mark Trestman. Period.
That's that bad, huh? Oh, my goodness.
Joe Quenneville's second all time. In wins? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
What? I mean, my God, they all grew together. So to me, and by the way, look at Stan Bowman and look at the roster and Steve Rosenblum, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who I could take or leave. I tweeted out proudly today. He's right. Look at the roster and who put it together. And they trade guys and Quinville wouldn't even know about it. Yeah. Please.
I've been saying that for years now. And
I went a little strong?
No, I don't think you went strong
enough.
And Rich
can say whatever you want. He's drank his booze for 40 years. I made that man rich.
You and I both.
And his dad. And his granddad. My dad made his granddad rich. And it's a long line of drinkers.
I've been critical of Bowman now for years because it was Dale Talon that brought in the core of this team. Kane, Toews, Crawford, Seabrook, all of those guys were Dale Talon picks. And then Bowman comes in and he does some nice, you know, acquisitions to help the roster.
Hulsa was a good pickup. Hulsa got hurt. They're not the same team.
Oh, my
Crawford
gosh.
Crawford is just an average goaltender to me that's won two cups because they had such a great defense. That's not the same thing anymore.
Exactly.
They've gotten older. And you know what? Jonathan Toews got a pass in this town last year.
Mm-hmm.
My God, he was horrendous, and
he
I love the kid. Horrendous in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, that's hopefully better days ahead for the Blackhawks. Hopefully we're wrong about this new head coach, but boy, oh boy, I think we're in for some tough days for Chicago Blackhawk fans.
Wait a minute, there's like some guys on the team older than him.
Older than Bowman.
He's 33 years old, and you get rid of Joe Quenneville because he did good with the Rockford Blackhawks or whatever the hell their name is? My God.
Oh, my gosh. He is that young. Is he?
I don't think I'll be asked on NBC Chicago anytime soon.
I don't think so either.
But Patrick Sharp lit him up last night a little bit. I saw that. He won't last long.
I saw that. Patrick Sharp coming out and being critical.
He will not last long if he's honest over there.
Yeah.
Believe me.
How about that? It's going to be interesting to see.
Let's do another hour, Aldo. I'm in a good mood with you today.
I'd love to do another hour, but we'll have to do it next week.
No, you wouldn't. Don't lie to people. You sound like Ed Sullivan after Topol Gigio went out the back door. God.
Mike North, say goodbye to everybody.
Don't you know this is all I got? This is all I got, man. I love it. I love Bear Barrow.
I love the show, and I love you. Take care, Mike.
It's all good, handsome.
All right.
Are you done? Are you out of words?
I am out of words and out of music, too.
All right, pal.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, great open, by the way. I loved it.
Thank you. All righty. Take care now.
All righty. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.